This coming Shabbos, we're going to have the honor and privilege of reading Parshas Vayelech. It's also Shabbos Shuva. The Parsha begins with Moshe Rabbeinu turning around and saying, "Be'meyav esrim shana anochi ayom lo chalod latzeis v'lavo." I'm 120 years old. I can no longer go and come. And Rashi quotes that Moshe didn't have Hashem's permission to go into the land of Israel. And the question became, what was he supposed to do at that point? So the Lord, Rabbi Jonathan Sacks, explains that this is a challenge that affects many who have already achieved their goals in life. And so like Moshe, who had already achieved states of human spirituality that were unmatched, and after took on the role of teacher to prepare the next generation, we too can plan a second mountain to climb with the potential to be the greatest legacy we pass on. We're told, Hashem is with us. He will not make you fail, and he will not make you falter. Rashi explains that he won't give you weakness. What's the difference between lo yarpachav and lo yazveka? So Rav Volbi explained that the reason why people falter is that they think Hashem's not with him. When a person doesn't let go of Hashem, it is possible that Hashem will forget him or her. A person has to know that when you stick with Hashem, he'll stick with you. Moshe was then told to tell Yoshua, Chazak v'yamatz, and Savior Yoshua, he was told, Chazak v'yamatz me'od. Why does he add the word me'od in Savior Yoshua? So Rav Yashiv Zatzal explained that in order to capture the land of Israel, you need the help of Hashem, Chazak v'yamatz. However, in regard to the study of Torah, which is the subject under the discussion in Savior Yoshua, one needs to hunker down and find his own strength to rise to the occasion. And so therefore there he was told, Chazak v'yamatz me'od. Then we read about the mitzvah of Hakel, and we're told, Hakel es ha'am hanoshim hanoshim v'hataf. Gather the nation together, men, women, and children. And the Gemara in Chagiga on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph notes, the Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah explained that if the men and the women came, the men came l'ilmod and the women l'shmoa, but why did they bring their children? And so the Gemara says, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah offered, the idea that lasei schar lemeviyeim, it was done to bring the reward to those who bring them. Now Rabbi Yeshua was so blown away from the comment that he noted that there's no orphan in a generation that has Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah in it. But why was this idea so profound? So Moshe Feinstein explained that often people think that the reason we need to educate our kids is that they'll know how to act all the time, but sometimes this leads to a problem, insofar as parents will sometimes look at their children and estimate their abilities and decide that a child needs to suffice with what he or she gets. In fact, sometimes the parents decide that they won't even keep that which they learn, so why should they bother learning it? Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah taught us that we need to teach our children no matter what the return rate will be. Our job is to give them the education, and by the way, to lead by example, and not exempt ourselves in the process. Lasei sachar lemeviyeim. There's a reason to do it just because, and there's schar in it just because. Moshe Rabbeinu was told, Hinchosh shochei b'mavusecha, and Rav Eli Monk notes that the word hein consists of two letters, hey and nun, each of which needs another letter to be pronounced. Nun needs another nun, hey needs another hey to be pronounced. And so Moshe uses this word to praise Hashem, while Hashem uses the same in reply. In essence, Hashem was highlighting to Moshe that his use of this world and the next one were directly linked and inseparable. Moshe was also told, I told the people, Ve'atah kisu lachem es hashira azos. Parshas Vayelech teaches us the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah, and the Gemara in Sanhedrin states that if one inherited a Sefer Torah from his father, he has to write one himself. The Ksas Sofer says that there are two messages here. One, that the Torah shouldn't be observed by rote, just following what we've done in previous generations. We have to accept it as if we received it at Har Sinai. And two, we also have to make a personal contribution to Torah learning. There's a deeper message there that each of us has that we each need to contribute. We're also told, V'yata kisu lochem es hashira azos. So now write this song for yourselves. V'olam des b'nei Yisrael sima b'fiyem. Teach it b'nei Yisrael, place it in their mouths. So why is the Torah called a song? And Rav Moshe Swift suggested that the music gives meaning and harmony to life. It transforms a sorrowful event into one of hope and joy. And Torah has that same ability as well. Finally, in the Haftorah, we read, Shuva Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha. And the Medrash comments that Reuben was the first to open with Tshuva, and thus his descendant Hoshea would also be the first, instructing Bnei Yisrael to return to Hashem. The only thing is that both Reuben and Hoshea were not the first to engage in their jobs. So why are they so credited by the Medrash? And the Meshech Chachma explains that Reuben was the first to realize that embedded in his need to ask for Tshuva from his father is the need to ask from Hashem, whose relationship with you is clearly strained, as is indicated by the ability to sin. And so Reuven saw this and worked on his tshuva. Hosea highlighted the message within tshuva. They were right that it's kui machem devarim b'shuva el Hashem, but they were the first ones to make these links clear. With that, we come to the end of the shortest sedra of the year, Parshas Vayelech, and Be'ezus Hashem, as we start our year with the sense of strength of Torah, Be'ezus Hashem will continue to be able to do so for many, many more good years to come. Ad bias go tzedek v'hala, Shabbat shalom to all, and Higemar chasima tovah.